Hallelujah. Gracious Father in heaven, we praise you, Lord. We thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy, your faithfulness, your kindness, your patience, and all that you are, Father, revealed in Christ Jesus, your only begotten Son. Lord, we experience all these wonderful virtues of yours, the wonderful presence of all this virtue that touches our life. And Lord, we know we can never thank you enough. We just want to praise you today, just to bless your holy name. And just to say, Lord, we love you. We love you, Father, because you first love us. We are out here in this world. We came into this world born in sin. Nothing good in us, Father. But a holy God who is just full of agape, look down from heaven above and reaches down and picks each and every one of us and cleanses us in the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, sanctifying us with thy Spirit and thy word, leading us and guiding us from day to day, that we might be a vessel fit for the Master's use. Lord, we pray that we are worthy of this gospel that you have given us in Christ Jesus our Lord. We thank you, Father. We just bless the holy name. Just praise you. Bless you today. Even as you approach thy word, Lord. May your Spirit come and just break it down and cause us to understand further our being, Lord, before you as we stand, what sort of person we are. We pray, Father, you forgive us our weaknesses and our shortcomings. As thou have dealt with sins of old, and you have left their footprint of their pilgrimage, Lord, upon the sand of time, upon walking across the holy word written down here as an admonition for us, and for our edification, that Lord, when we study thy word and look into it, that we know what to do, Father, the example they set before us. We know, Father, they don't have example to follow, but we do have an example to follow in this last day. All this record down to times, Lord, and we surely, Lord, should not forever and always excusing ourselves for our failure. So, Father, help us then. Help our mind, Lord, to be focused on thy word. Like as was David of old, meditating, and that he examined his life. As Paul said, we even come every time to thy word to be judged. When this is thy will, Lord, we know that the coming of our Savior is so nigh to take every one of us before this world enter into a period of great tribulation. So we thank you, Father. Lead us and guide us then, Lord. Bless us today, Lord. Bless us today. We didn't ask for a big blessing, just a little bit. And we experience it, Lord, and know and grow in thy grace and in the faith of Jesus Christ, our Lord. In whose name we pray, Father. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And go to the book of Galatians chapter 1. We're going to finish off today our series on the liberty in Christ. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11 to 12. As I said, it is now when we talk about liberty in Christ, we're actually approaching it through Paul's revelation and understanding what the revelation that Paul had, you know. And of course, it's a tremendous revelation that Paul had received to try to get people to understand the liberty that we have in Christ Jesus. Okay? So now, we have Galatians chapter 1, verse 11 to 12, Luke.
But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men. For I neither received it of men, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen. So now, we know that Paul was one born out of due season. He was not part of the 12. And sometimes when I look back, when I look into the scripture, when I look at how God, you know, bring about his plan and his purposes, and I always think that God is like a what we call a director of a great play, you know, in the theater. And everything, of course, was in the plan. That happened in the plan of the Lord Jesus Christ, or happened in the plan of our Father in heaven, according to his plan. So here we have Paul, who was born, was not part of the 12. And I believe that God showed all this to make us to understand that we should grow from glory to glory and learning, and progressively learning to come to that stage where we understand the things of God, we understand the Father. Now, when we look at what the apostles, the 12 disciples, because they walked with Jesus Christ for 3.5 years, some less than that, because Christ chose from different period of time, you know, perhaps a different of a few weeks. But we understand that when we look into the relationship that the disciple had with Christ, and we understand why they acted the way that they acted. Now, that's the reason why when people do not know the scripture, they get themselves into a mess. You know, they think that, well, like many in end time, they say, I have the Holy Ghost baptism, and God will lead me. You know, it is easy to say words like that. And I said this before, when we talk about liberty, we talk about choices. And God is not going to stop you from making your own choice. You see, people say, oh, God will lead me. Whatever I do, God will lead me. If God don't want me to do this, he will lead me away from that. That is not true. You're faced with a temptation. And James says that when you yield to temptation, and the end when you yield to it, it brought forth sin. And when sin is complete, it brought forth death. I hope you understand that thing. You understand? You understand what it means? That we can always say, oh, God will leave me and be thrown up in there. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to rapture. And that's not the way to say things like that without understanding what revelation is. You understand this, huh? So, because the disciples will be Christ for all the period of time, they get to attach themselves to the flesh. So much, because they saw the man Jesus, they walked with him, they ate with him, they go out ministering with him. So much so, you know, they cannot look at the very revelation that Christ is trying to reveal. That's why one time, Jesus said to them, there are many things I want to tell you, but you will not be able to understand. But when the Holy Spirit comes, He will lead you and guide you into all truth. He will lead you and guide you and show you things to come. And so, in leading, you must be, you know, in tune with the Word. Otherwise, you're not going to get what God wants to show you. So, when we come to what Paul here said this, verse 11 and 12, said that the gospel which was preached on me is not after man. The gospel that I preach is not taught to me by man. It's not of man. It's nothing to do with the flesh. Nobody taught me. It doesn't just come from within my flesh what I know, as if I'm being that a Pharisee that I was. I think I know the gospel. I mean, I know the law of Moses. I know the prophet that I know it. No, it was not taught to me, but even Gamaliel. I wasn't even, he was taught by Gamaliel, all that, but it was nothing to do with the revelation. Because he said in the next verse, neither I received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. What do you mean by the revelation of Jesus Christ? You know, some people have this idea, or translation probably have, different translation probably tell you different things. And some will say that Jesus Christ appeared to Paul and taught him. That may be true. Or they heard the voice of Jesus Christ talk to him audibly. That may be true. But the simple thing here is that I was taught by the revelation of Jesus Christ. I was taught by what Christ revealed to me, or by the faith of what that I have in Christ, how He showed it to me. But the question is, how Christ showed it to him about the truth and the revelation that he received? We do not know how Christ revealed to him. Whether audibly or visibly, we have no idea. Yeah, that's why years gone by in the past, some people ask me, Brother Gann, when you say that God show it to you, God speak to you, did you hear an audible voice? I'm talking to you right now. You know, when a man talks like this, you realize he doesn't know what revelation is. You know, let me ask you this. Every one of you here, you receive the gospel. What makes you so sure that the gospel is true? How is it that you are drawn to the gospel? Huh? At first you heard the word of God preached, right? But then you accept. What makes you accept? You may accept because, oh yeah, because he said this, the preacher said this, okay, I'm going to hell because I'm a sinner. Jesus Christ said, okay, I believe. Is that the way it is? Or is it because the Spirit is speaking to you in your heart? Did He speak to you in an audible voice? Or is it because the Spirit speaks to the Spirit? That's not what we're talking about. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. What in what sense? The Spirit. So we need to be in tune with the Spirit of Christ, because we said that we have Christ, the Spirit of Christ in us, the Holy Spirit. So we should be in tune with Him, that we'll be one with Him. Do you get a point? Do you understand what I'm saying now, huh? So when we talk about this revelation that Paul had, you know, it's about what he received. by revelation. It can come by the Spirit speaking to him, inside him, in his heart, in his spirit, through his spirit. Or God could have, you know, speak to him audible voice. Or the Christ appeared to him and taught him, as some people want to believe that. And Jesus came and sat with him, you know, and talked to him. Maybe, but the Bible don't, but Paul never said it that way. If it was true, Paul would have said it, Christ came and sat down with me and talked with me. But he said, I received by the revelation of the Spirit, or by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Alright? And that's, you know what, the last book of the Bible is called the Revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God the Father gave it to him, and he gave it to John, and John gave it to the church. Do you see? Huh? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. Christ even had to receive revelation from his Father. You see that? Okay. Alright, let's go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. Onwards to chapter 3, verse 29.
But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation.
Alright, see here, these three verses here. The fact is this, is that our issue when we talk about liberty in Christ, we are dealing with the very thing that happened when the gospel went to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles believe, and here you have some believers from Judea, you know, went around and telling the Gentiles that they need to be circumcised. So circumcision was the prime focus of the Jewish convert, putting it upon the Gentiles that they should be circumcised likewise as them. So this issue of circumcision and them were taken to Jerusalem to the elder and the apostle there to ask them, is this thing necessary? So they had the council, and then okay, after they concluded their discussion, then they brought up what we see in the book of Acts, that they should keep away from idols. That animal that is strangled, keep from blood and from fornication. Right. So, this became the topic. Now, circumcision is out of the way. So now, Peter knew what he, okay, after all, he was there, he gave his speech already in Jerusalem. But after some time down the road, you know, he went around, he ate with the Gentiles. But the problem that Peter had was that he was not sincere in his relationship of fellowshipping with the Gentile and the Jew. So when he sat down here with the Gentile, and here comes somebody from Jerusalem, and when he heard that they are coming, he will withdraw. So when he withdraw from the Gentiles, you know, Barnabas was taken up with this hypocrisy. Barnabas was young, was not as, you know, Peter was the oldest of all of all the disciples. He was the one very senior. And Barnabas was someone that was converted, so following Peter. And what Peter do, Barnabas do the same. You know. And that's one also thing, is that the importance of leadership. In the entire message, we have a preacher that propagate false doctrine, that propagate strange behavior, others will follow. You know, like Kenneth Hagin, who joined himself to this holy laughter thing, and when he started laughing, everybody will laugh. You know, and Benny Hinn, when he do all the hand movement of fire, the people fall down, people behind will start falling down. It is just, you know, the blind following the blind thing. And Barnabas didn't even know what was going on. Peter was doing it, it's a Barnabas follow. And this is one thing here the Bible recorded for us. As much as Peter was a senior man, Paul was younger than him. I always explain about it. He was about 3 years younger than Peter and was not of the original 12. Paul did not hesitate to give him a rebuke in front of the elder for the behavior that he had, you know, for his behavior, and they called the dissimulation and causes all this confusion and put a stop to all this. You know, as I said many times, if we have today's anti-message believer who are living in that time and saw what Paul did, perhaps they would question Paul, who are you to talk to Peter like that? You know. So when I say what I said to senior men, to minister or preacher who are senior, in a message, so to speak, senior, because they will be Brother Branham, and they say, you are a young person. How dare you speak to someone like that or write about someone like that? But you know what? God is no respecter of person. Truth is truth. Falsehood is falsehood. And that's why Paul has to expose it. Okay, next verse.
But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We, who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroy, I make myself a transgressor.
Amen. Alright, stop here for a while. Now, here now, Paul having rebuked Peter, and then he wrote this to the Galatians, and then he explained. He referring to himself and to the other disciple of his, Silas, I believe, is here. Maybe Timothy was here with him. When he wrote this to Galatians, which are mostly, of course, Gentile people, he said, we who are Jew by nature and not sinner of the Gentile, knowing that the man is not justified by the works of the law. No, he's saying that, yeah, we are Jew. Okay? And we're not like the Gentile who are sinner. And, you know, this is the Jewish perception or understanding, because God chosen them, they're special people. You know, the Gentiles are dog, we are special people. You know, he's trying to make people understand, you know, that we are special people, we are not like Gentiles who are sinners. And yet we know that the man is not justified by the works of the law, but by thy faith in Christ Jesus. We believe in Christ, so we are justified by faith in Christ. Not by work, because he said, not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. No flesh, not even whether you're a Jew or even you're Moses. No one who is special, so-called special person, chosen of God, can be justified by the law. Do you understand? So, he said that if we seek to be justified by Christ, then we ourselves are found sinner. Therefore, Christ is Christ, therefore the minister of sin. God forbid. No. We are justified not by the law, we are justified by Christ. Get the point? We are justified by Christ, by the blood, by the work of Jesus Christ. So Paul is saying that while at the same time we say we are Christian, we are believer, and then we are trying to do the work of the law, how can Christ justify us? It will be contrary. Okay? And then in the next verse say, for if I build again the thing which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Well, I'm a Jew. I come to Christ, and I know He will justify me. But yet now I'm going back to law again. Yeah, what am I doing? What am I doing with Christ? Christ made Him like a sinner. You know what I mean? Christ sinned for me. You see, now that we are Christian, if we, like as book of Hebrew, Paul said in Hebrew chapter 6, we have taste of the heavenly thing. We enjoy the blessing. We enjoy the work of God, the life of God in us. Then we turn around and spurn it and reject it. And then, do you think we can come back again? Can we rebuild again? For the person who say he's a Christian, and the next moment, after several years down the road, now, I don't believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Christianity is just a religion. Now, after several years down the road, he said, yeah, then I think Christ is the Savior, my Savior. You want to come back. You know, when someone destroyed, you know, believe in something, and then he built, and then he destroyed, and then he come back and built again. That's what Paul is saying. Do we know what we are believing in? Between the law and between grace. So Paul is trying to try to make people to understand the liberty. Liberty cannot freedom. And law cannot hold the freedom. Law cannot hold us. We are free. We are no longer a prisoner of sin. We are a prisoner of Christ. We belong to Christ. Verse 19, yes.
For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain.
Correct. When we are crucified with Christ, when you're crucified means you're dead, but nevertheless I live. Yeah? And then it further makes us to understand that when we live by faith of the Son, live by the faith of the Son of God. Got it? And therefore, in that last verse says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. So if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. What Christ have done is worthless. If we can be justified by the law. Alright, continue.
O foolish Galatians, who had bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of
verse faith. 2 is interesting, isn't it? Did you see how verse 2 is worded? Receive you the Spirit of the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith. When you say you receive the Holy Spirit, how do you get it? You see, in the Old Testament, the people in the Old Testament, Moses, in order to keep the law, they never have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. They do not have the Holy Ghost baptism, so to speak. Do you get it? They didn't experience born again like we do. You get the point now? You understand this now? So Paul is saying, did you receive either spirit of the by the work of the Lord, it means you keep it, or do you receive the Holy Spirit? Or do you receive it by the hearing of faith? The hearing of revelation of Jesus Christ. So faith cometh by hearing. Do you understand it? And the Bible is very specific. And I always want people to understand. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Faith do not come by reading the word of God. No, you will never get it. Because why? We see in the Bible, people don't understand, don't seem to understand. We see in the Bible that the book of the prophets were read every Sabbath day in the temple, in the synagogue, right? And they go about still calling on to the Lord. They don't even know what Isaiah said. They don't even know what Daniel said. Yeah? Or what even what Joel said. They do nothing about it. So faith comes by hearing. Somebody said, well, they read the scripture, they read the scroll, and somebody is hearing. Yeah, you can read this word out loud. Correct? I can read the chapter, I can read the whole book. We can sit here all day, and someone read the whole book of Isaiah. After 3-4 hours, do you think you can get revelation out of it just by reading? By hearing, the Bible said, faith cometh by hearing. He's talking about what? Not reading the word of God and you hear. It is the exposition. It is expounding of the word of God. That's why I said, Paul said, how can they hear except a preacher be sent? You see? That's the reason why the eunuch out there in the desert, he was reading Isaiah. He was wondering what on earth this book was talking about. And Philip was sent. That's why I see God sent Philip over there and asked him, do you know what you are reading? He said, how can I know what I'm reading? Because I need somebody to tell me what it is. Somebody to expound it. And so that's what we mean by hearing of the word. Get it? All right.
Are ye so foolish, having begun in the spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?
Paul rebuked them. He said, are you so foolish? No, you start with the Spirit, and now that you what? You are thinking that you can be perfect by the flesh of keeping the law. You know, and then he said, well, you have suffered so many things in vain. If it's yet been in vain, you have suffered all these things, you're frustrated, you're keeping all this law and all these things. Is it in vain? If it's yet in vain, it means that you still hope in you to turn around. Give up all this keeping of the law, and you're trying to force me to keep the law, or try to force others to keep the law. You see? It frustrated you. If it's Is it yet in vain? You keep all this, now you know, right? What it is all about. If he said in vain, it means that you, if you said, yeah, it's in vain, you said it's hopeless, I can't do anything more about it. Then you see, if Paul is questioning him, then you can turn around then. You see? And he said, he that ministered to you, that means the Holy Spirit that ministered to you, alright, or Christ that ministered to you, the Spirit. And what miracle among you do he do by the work of the law or by hearing of faith? You know, Christ ministered to you, the Spirit of God. And you have preachers that were sent by God, teaching you, preaching to you. That is what Paul is going to tell them. And he says, then you know, did you get this Spirit again? By the working, and the work on the among you, do he... That is to say that did Christ do it by work? Did he tell you through a preacher that you have to keep the law and that you should keep the law and so on? All this come by the work of the Spirit of Christ. Alright, and the hearing of faith. Not by the keeping of the law or through the law. Alright, verse 6.
Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith The same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham.
I like this very much. And here is a very simple truth. Anyone that is of faith in Christ Jesus, they are the seed of Abraham. They are the children of Abraham. Do you know that? You see, the Pharisees came to Jesus and said, We have Abraham as our father. But Jesus said, If you have Abraham as a father, the work you should do. The work that he believed in, you should do. The same. But did they? And yet, in the scripture, as Paul said, that God would justify the heathen means those who are not Jew, the Gentiles are considered the heathen, and through faith, preach before the gospel unto Abraham that in you, Abraham already had been preached to by God. God preached to him the gospel, that in you shall all nations be blessed. And there, they which are the faith, be of faith, are blessed with faithful Abraham. Alright, continue. Verse 10.
For as many as of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them.
Now this is very direct. Okay, the law was given, and then Paul comes along and says, Cursed is everyone that continue not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. When we talk about the law, it's not just about the Ten Commandments. There are other things that was given to Moses called the books of the law. The book of the law. So, you know, they have to keep it. They have to do this, they have to do that. It's just like a ritual. You know, in paganism, such and such a day, such and such a month, there are certain festive seasons that they have to keep it. Even just like the recent one that we have, the ghost festivals or hungry ghost festivals. You know, they have to offer oranges and food and light candles to bring, sometimes I get confused with their ritual anyway. They offer the oranges and they put candles on ushering the ghosts of the dead to come home, how to come home. And I don't know when how to lead them back to where they belong. So they have all this ritual, and yet they keep it. So the same thing that Jews are doing, just the same. All right? Okay.
But then, no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth it or added thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should not make the promise of none effect. That it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise.
Amen. Alright, here. No man justified by the law, we know that, because the just shall live by faith. And the law is not a faith. That's Paul's trying to separate law and grace. So if you want to hold to grace, what do you want to hold to the law? Because the law cannot justify you because it is not of faith. Because you have to do them. Because if I don't do them, I cannot be saved. This is what you feel. If I don't do them, I'm not a child of God. I'm not a believer. It reminds me of all this foolish thing that Christians are doing. In the discussion, they will take what their church say, our church believe in this, that God is a Trinity, and we believe in eternal hell, and all this, we hold on to it. It's like a law, they are not liberated to actually look into the scripture. Now, let me say this was what happened on last week, and I was out there having coffee and meals with two believers. Whenever time a subject came up, whether it's a doctrine, or whether it's a general discussion of the problem of the world, one brother will always come up with, Brother Bram said this. When we talk about a certain doctrine or subject, Brother Bram said, and I told him, I stopped him and said, brother, all this while we've been talking, every time when you open your mouth to share, it is always what Brother Brown said. Then he asked me, he said, Brother Gunn, are you offended? I said, no, I'm not offended. I'm just telling you that you always say, Brother Brown said, it must be Brother Brown comes in. Why is it not the scripture? Because I don't hear the scripture. Do you understand what I'm saying? It become bondage to it. You see? And it is so scary because, it is just what China is doing to its people. The Red Book of Mao Zedong, the Karl Marx book writing, and now we have Xi Jinping's writing, his thoughts, and people are having to quote them. You see, it becomes something that you are ingrained to it. The only thing I want to be ingrained in is the Word of God. Because the Word of God is life. You see? Of course, when I say this, people say, you don't mean to say Bob Ramsey is not life? No, Bob Ramsey is the Word, not life. What is life is that when he preached the Word of God, when you hear it, that's life. But you keep on quoting him, doesn't mean that it's life. That the Word of God. You see, that's why Paul is trying to make people to understand. That people are so bound by the law, so bound by ritual, whatever it is, you are dealing with it. And here, the people are dealing with the law, and Paul says, law is not a faith. But the men that do it shall live in them. there are people that say, I'm a friend of mine. They're very proud. They put a button here on the shirt they wear. This big button, like campaign button, you know what I mean? You know this general election? They have here in Singapore, we don't have this campaign button. Alright? But in America, many countries they have, vote for Trump, vote for Hillary, vote for Obama, vote for I don't know who else. And here you have a big button here with Brother Abraham's picture on it with the halo. And they're going out everywhere. You see, they're campaigning for Brother Branham. They're campaigning for Brother Branham. God sent a prophet. They've become so, let live in them. That's what Paul is trying to say. If you want to live by the law, you'll be living in them. So people are living in the books of Brother Branham. We know what has been going on in Branham. Press, play, and obey. Put a tape of Brother Branham and press, play, and obey. You see? And that becomes just like the Ten Commandments. Read it and obey. Recite it and obey. And I know one thing for sure. The Bible tells me all these things that is going on. The only thing they have life is Christ. And He is the anointed word that will make flesh for us. He said, I am the bread from heaven. Is that right? And then when eat of it, you have eternal life. That's what He is. Huh? And here, as you continue right now, Christ has been given us from the curse of the law. Curses every man that hang upon a tree, because that was what happened with this crucifixion. There was a very cruel death, and the Bible already prophesied about dying on a tree, the cross. And Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentile through Christ Jesus, that we might perceive or receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Through faith. Through faith. What is faith here again? We know the word faith is revelation. You cannot have understanding what faith is until it is revealed to you. That's why we have the faith, have faith in God. Then you have the faith of God. Two different things. You can have faith in God, is one thing. It means I put my trust in God. Right? But the other thing is that have the faith of God. Have the revelation of God, what God is doing. So different. Do you understand? The one other thing that we always know in Brother Graham's campaign is that when he preached, after that he go for altar call and all this, or when he prayed for the sick, he always like play this music called Only Believe. The song, right? This is his anthem. Only believe, only believe, only, yeah. You have to do is only believe. There are a lot of people that come forward to be prayed for, but they never get healing. Until they get the faith of God. Do you understand that? Alright. And here Paul in 15 says that I speak after the manner of men. Yeah, if this be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannul it or added. That's yeah, to say that when a man make a covenant, you make a covenant with another man, and when you make it and you seal it, you cannot disannul it. You cannot annul it. Do you understand? You cannot change it. You cannot add to it. Now that's why it's important is that when boy and girls go out together and they say, love each other, I'll marry you, this and that, they took this vow and blah, blah, blah. Do you know that this is a covenant? That's why you can never disannul it. You cannot add to it, you cannot change it. In the eyes of God, it is serious. Do you understand? Alright. Then he said, to Abraham and to his seed was a promise made. Not to his seed as to many, but as to only one, which is Christ Jesus. So in Christ Jesus, one seed will bring forth many seeds. And this day, and this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which came 430 years after, cannot disannul. They should make the promise a manifest. The seed that God promised Abraham, that's Christ, to which the heathens of the world could become children of Abraham. Right? This promise was made 430 years before the law was given. So, a covenant was made between God and Abraham. The law that came 430, can it disannul the promise? Can it be added to the promise? No. The so Paul is giving an illustration about a man making a covenant with somebody else. Two persons, when you make a covenant, it is sealed. You cannot disannul, and now you cannot add to it or take away something out of it. No. A promise is given to Moses. It's a promise. So whatever comes after will never be able to destroy that. Will never be able to disannul it. Okay? And the last part, of course, for if the inheritance be of the law, is no more a promise, but God gave to Abraham by the promise. Alright, verse 19 onwards.
Wherefore then served the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture had concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that, faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized unto Christ have been put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Alright. Wherefore then serve the law? It was added because of transgression. Now, here we have the promise, living from time life, from left to right. You have the promise that God gave to Moses, to Abraham. Then, as it comes down, 430 years later, came the law. So the question is this, why the law then? The Paul said it was added because of transgression. Now if the children of Israel have hold on to the faith of Abraham, they would not have the law that come from Mount Sinai. It is because of their transgression, their rebelliousness, for all those 400 odd years that God had to give them this law. And even later on, you see how they keep on being rebellious. Here, Paul then said this, that this was ordained by the hand of a mediator. As to say that God allows it, but here Paul said the mediator is a mediator of, not a mediator of one, but God is one. Now, you know what is a mediator? A mediator always stands between two persons, right? Mediator between A and B. Here is the one in the center, mediating. But yet, Paul is going to make us to say that God is one, because so if Christ is going to stand there and mediate between man and the Father. Yeah, there are two, right? We have mankind and we have the Father. But here the Bible says God is one, because it was God in Christ. So to make us understand about the Godhead. Now, he continued right down to say this. verse 22. The scripture had concluded that all were under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterward be revealed. Now, you have the promise, but the promise needs faith. Now, the children of Israel, yeah, say we know there's a Messiah that's coming. You understand, right? We're not looking for the Messiah. They know they're looking for the Messiah. But they didn't recognize the Messiah because they were so involved with the law that the faith would not reveal to them. And that's why you had these hypocrites that came to John the Baptist and said, we want to be baptized. And John said, look at the hypocrisy. And no, they were not sincere in their heart. And John said, bring forth fruit, made for repentance. For the axe is laid to the root. If the root is not cut out, the life is still there. You're still a hypocrite. Cut off the root. Lay the axe to the root, and you'll be alright. Do you understand what I'm saying? So they do not have faith. They do not have the faith to the promise. And so Here Paul in verse 23 says this. Before faith came, we were shut under the law. Shut up until the faith we should after be revealed. So, the law was carrying. So, the promise, the law came 430 years later. It continued down to the day of Jesus Christ. So, the people kept the law. They have to go through all the rituals and all that thing. And Paul, using the word interestingly, they were shut up unto the faith which should afterward be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. And after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Hey, interesting. It reminds me one. Whenever we talk about the law, there's always this allegory, or we can say that there's always typology. I can look at it, and I see this one thing here. The law. All the goes around, they cannot see. All was given because of transgression. Now, it is, as I said, they were shut up. They were kept under law, shut up unto faith. That means that they were just kept in a box. Okay? And it reminds me of Moses. When he was a little baby, the mother found him a good child. Found, look at him as a good child. So, and you know, Pharaoh was going after all this Jewish firstborn, they would come because the prophecy that came, so the Pharaoh would just go around killing all those male child. So now Moses was put into a little boat, a basket, right? And then led out there in the river Nile. So he's floating down the stream of time. So it was, now Moses represented the law, remember? The law. The law. It was kept shut up until faith, because God is doing something. So this baby in this little ark is floating down. So think about the Jew. Since the law came on Mount Sinai, and you know they have to keep those laws, and it was just as possible they were shut up to faith. They continued until such time that faith would be revealed to them. And he said this in verse 24, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And the little cradle that Moses was in, floating down. A school teacher. You know, we all go to school, a school teacher is supposed to teach us something. The law was given to them because of their transgression, and the law was to teach them something. Now, a child go to primary one, schoolmaster there is teaching them. Primary 2, teaching them. Primary 3, primary 4, primary 5, right? Primary 6, and then secondly 1 to 4. Well, you think you know a lot? Didn't you all do 10 years of education? Well, you're learning, right? So that's what the law was given them for. As a schoolmaster, to teach them. And that's why when Christ came, you see, those who understood what the law was all about, actually saw Christ. But those who are still holding on to law, keep on holding on to law, and, well, it's one thing to talk about the law, but the problem is that from the law they have made it into their own kind of law. It's become a tradition. And it failed them. You see, and that's what the Pharisees and the Sadducees were. verse 24. The law was a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. And after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. And then we are free. We come to Christ, we are free. Alright. So let's go to Romans now, chapter 14, in verse 1 to 23.
Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believer that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yeah, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord. For he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord.
Okay, let's just stop here for you. Just briefly summarize what Paul is talking about. So when, you know, concerning the weak, and you know, I was thinking, you know, just talking to the brother last week, you know, he had been around for 40 years or so in this entire message, but I don't know why he was or had been fellowshipping after all those years since he went and joined the other groups. But he had a lot of questions that he asked me. And some of this is very simple. And I was wondering, you know, what have you been learning from these churches? So I realized then, you know, there are people who can be Christian for years after years and yet still do not know. And still asking simple questions that they should already know. You know, so, but anyway, Paul is saying that, we know, the people who are, person who are weak, is talking about believers, okay? Don't receive him, you know, receive him, but not to argue with him. Because here is Paul saying that whether you eat or you don't eat, whatever you eat, you know, don't argue and fight over food. If you don't want to eat, you don't eat. If I want to eat, don't come and argue with me, what am I eating? You know, if you are a vegan, good. If you are a vegan, you know, if you are a vegan, you're good. Your fair complexion, your skin is beautiful, you know, because you are vegan. But if your family members are not vegan, and you are the head of the house, and you are sitting at a table having a pile of vegetables, and you're eating, and here comes your children, your wife, and sit at the same table with you with a big sirloin steak, or lamb chop, or chicken, are you offended? Should you be offended? That you will argue with them, you know, you shouldn't be. So as Paul said, whether you eat or you don't eat, you know, you do it to the Lord. And you esteem one day a better day, another day, well, you esteem it to the Lord. So what is the most important day in your life, every year? Some people say, my birthday. Okay, that's your birthday. You esteem it more important? Okay. Some say, January the 1st. Why? Because it's a new year. Or some people say, somewhere in the month of July. Why? Because it's the NWC. Where we get the raise, you know, all this nature of waste comes and comes, we got money. Huh? To others, maybe to the children, Christmas time, they get presents, perhaps. Or Chinese New Year, you get ang pao. Those who are not married, happy, they can get more ang pao. Those who are married for the first year, they say, oh my goodness, I have a lot of cousins and nephews, and now I got to, they're not married, I got to give that. Maybe that you don't like it. So you extend your day as you like it. And Paul is just saying that, don't bring all these things to a disputation, okay? Alright.
For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, said the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not, therefore, judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know, and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus, that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and other things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or it is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And if he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin.
Amen. Alright, so Paul said not to judge anymore and don't be a stumbling block. And in verse 14, I like that, I'm persuaded by the Lord that there is nothing unclean of itself. And still to this day, people say that, you know, you cannot eat pig's blood, you cannot eat this, you cannot eat that, you know. Sure, you know, Paul even another place said, all things are lawful, but not all things edify. If you like to eat belly pork every day, then you go ahead and eat belly pork. Alright, but don't forget, anything that is you overindulge in it, you know there is a price to pay. And the Bible said, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. If you destroy, God will destroy for you. Do you understand? There's not no doubt there are many people in, you know, they go to their grave early. You see? And you eat and indulge in all these unhealthy food so much so that by the time you are sick, oh God, heal me, God, heal me. Okay, the first time the Lord heal you, and then when you go back and indulge again, God says, you destroy, I'll destroy it for you. You ask me to heal, I'm not going to heal you. So you go to your grave early then. Do you understand? You see? Alright? And so the point is saying, whether you eat meat or you eat vegetable, be to yourself. Okay? And we have in verse 20, for meat destroy not the work of Christ. So if it's, the Seventh Day Adventists, they're particularly, you know, following the Mosaic Law of Moses, the food, and that's why they're healthy. You know, and they don't argue with people who are Christians who don't follow them, who they, to be clean like them, to eat clean food. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, food does not destroy, as Paul said, the work of God. Everything is considered pure in the eyes of God. As Paul said, all things are lawful, but not all things edify. Okay, but so the only thing is, don't be a stumbling block. Have faith in yourself. If you want to eat it, sure. If you eat the food that is served to you, don't look hygienic, but you have to eat it, you just pray and eat it. And that's all you do. Go to India, go to Africa in some places. Water can be very dirty if you don't have bottled water. You know? And you are not used to it. Just as we have Timothy to follow Paul, and he always had a stomach problem. He went around to all this country to preach. He might be, you know, having a problem with the water in that area. You see? So, whatever food you eat, have faith in yourself. Okay? Alright, let's go over to Galatians chapter 4. And we'll see what Paul use the allegory regarding Hagar and Sarah. Chapter 24, verse 21 to 31.
Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he was who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which genereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate had many more children than she which had a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what said the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be the heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free.
Alright, here's an allegory that Paul uses, which is pretty beautiful. Alright, those who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law, what the law speaks of? Here, Paul then says that Abraham had two sons. What's the name of the two sons? Ishmael and Isaac. Paul said one was a son born after the flesh. The other was of the free woman. Born after the flesh was because, you know, God promised Abraham a child when he was 75 years old. And you know, he waited and waited, and and Sarah waited and waited. And of course, he got tired of waiting, and she came, become dried up. And said, why don't you just go to Hagar? You know, the desire of her flesh, she wanted to carry a baby and nurse the baby. And so Ishmael was born out of Hagar. Now here, interesting also, he said that the one, verse 24, was from the Mount Sinai, which generated to bondage, which is Hagar. Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. And answer to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. Right now, Paul is talking about right now when he wrote this. You see, Hagar is just what's happened right now in Jerusalem. Jerusalem. The city of Jerusalem. Because the people are in bondage to the law. They don't have the faith. They are just Hagar. They are bondage to the law. You understand? Hagar was Mount Sinai. You know, and in fact, in some ancient translation text says that Mount Hagar, instead of saying the Hagar is Mount Sinai, they say Mount Hagar. Okay, because Hagar represents the law. You see. And then he said, but in verse 26, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free and is the mother of us all. Ah, so the Holy New Jerusalem, as you say, not the one that is in Jerusalem, the city Jerusalem, the physical one, but the one that is from heaven is free. So we are all born from heaven above. We are all under who? Sarah. Okay, born of the free, of the child, the free woman. And in verse 27, rejoice ye that barren, that beareth not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate have many more children than which have a husband. You see, here's an allegory where when women cannot give birth, they are, you know, in those days, you know, a woman is barren, considered cursed. That's not a good thing. you know, they were crying and they feel sad. Paul is talking about that which we are from Jerusalem above is the mother of us all. And she had given birth to many children. So when we come to the faith in the Lord, you know, we feel that we are little, huh? We are nothing. But actually, Jerusalem is the mother of us all, from the one from above. We don't see many today, but there are many. If you look all the way back, in the days when we are all standing before the Lord, before Christ in judgment seat, surely you can see millions of people. Alright? So, but he that, verse 28, but we brethren, as Isaac, are children of promise, but as then he that was born after the flesh, persecute him, that was born after the spirit, even it is now. Even if they are poor, of course Christians are persecuted by those religious sects. Like even we have today in the world, around the world. Okay? So, there is a difference between the born woman, son of born woman, and the son of the free woman. So here Paul, in all this that Paul we are reading through, the liberty that Paul is talking about, the liberty that we have. We will know who we are, but don't take our liberty to disputation of, you know, of anything against those who are weak. But we need to understand. Paul is trying to make us to understand whether it's food, whether it's a day, whether whatever it may be, whatever we do, do it unto the Lord. Don't go into disputation with other people. You don't agree with this, this and that. You know, and to damn them or something like that. Colossians chapter 2, 4 to 23.
And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who had raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, had ye quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a shew of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man, therefore, judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which he had not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshy mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment administered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ, from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a shew of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any order, not in any honor to satisfy, to the satisfying of the flesh.
So here Paul warned against false teaching. Okay, verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you to philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Everything is tradition, this and that. And then also he said here in verse 14, that God hath blot out the handwriting of ordinances that are against us, which are contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Now, there are some ordinances we know that are very contrary. Like, for example, in the Old Testament, an example I could say that is that in the field, a farmer is not supposed to sow two kinds of seeds in the same plot of land. And also, they are not allowed to wear garments that are two kinds of material. I said, for example, they use cotton and flax seeds, kind of a whatever plant, you know, and spun them. They are not allowed. Today, we have cotton, Dacron, and all this, right? We are no longer under those laws. But those are laws that are contrary. So this brother hangs on at the cross. Okay? You understand? Hand washing, like what the Pharisee told him, you didn't tell Jesus, you and your disciples don't wash their hand. You know, you should wash your hand and forth and so on, and keeping on the first few days, Sabbath keeping, food ban, touch not, eat not, don't touch this, don't take that, just like people to go to, you know, you go to a store, a souvenir store, for example. You go, in Chinatown here, we have a lot of souvenir stores. You have all these little toys, you know, or maybe what do you call that? The prosperity, longevity, and all that. All those.
Full also,
yeah. All those, you know, they call it deity stuff like that. They, you know, they sell it to tourists, and then you have one that is big tummy, you know. And I remember one time I went with a brother, he looked at that, he touched his tummy. Just a third row of the tummy. I see, okay, this brother's tummy is, they're just having a little fun. But there are people who say, oh, don't touch that's an idol. That, don't touch this is bad. Don't touch this is bad, you know. Oh, that's a gremlin, oh, that's a monster, you know. Don't buy all those toys. And, you know, people say, touch not, buy not, do this not, everything. What is that? So you become subjected, you become in bondage to this kind of a law and rudiment and things that you make for yourself, you create for yourself. And why in verse 22 says, which all are to perish with the using, after the common and doctrines of man, which is very true. Whatever you do with it, it's going to come to a waste, come to nothing, to be destroyed. Alright? Let's quickly continue and try to finish that off. Okay, now go to Galatians. You know, here we want to end here with this, because you see what, in the original, when the council in Jerusalem, they say, keep from flee from idolatry, or keep away from idols, from blood, foot strangled, and then finally fornication. Alright, but you must understand that there's no problem with the first three. Okay? There's still people who know, they say, don't touch the idol, but that's okay. That's not your time. You're not worshipping the idol. Right? Foot off of the idol, no problem. Blood, no problem, because Paul said, all things are edible. You know, you don't condemn yourself when you eat. All things are lawful. But only that you don't cause a stumbling block to the weak. But fornication is the work of the flesh. It's different. You know, fornication is something very serious. What did they brought it in? Well, of course, maybe the Gentiles are worse than the Jew in those days. Perhaps because they don't have the law to keep them. The Gentiles, they got so many, you know, today, like you have mistress. A man can have a wife, two wives, keep mistress. Then you have keep concubine, maybe a businessman go to a city, he has a girl there, you know, go to another city, he has another wife, woman's there for him, every time he visits all the city. And so this is very common among the Gentiles, but what about the Jew? The Jew also do the same, right? They also commit fornication, this and that. But perhaps they see the reason that the Gentiles are more so, they wrote that out. Okay, so fornication is all by the works of the flesh is against one's own body. Let us go to Galatians 5:16-21. Quickly read these few other verses. Galatians 5, go ahead and read it, 16-21.
This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another.
Right. So, I think this is very clear cut. What Paul talked about telling us, the believers, to walk in the Spirit so that we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And he's listing up all of these fleshy things, that the works in the body. I mean, the works in the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, which of course, you know what lasciviousness is? You know, today we have problem, a lot of people use vulgar words and dirty signs, and then dirty old men, they go after young girls in the streets, and we have pedophiles and all that stuff going on. Idolatry. Idolatry can be any kind, not just an idol by itself, okay? Witchcraft. Yeah. Well, of course, that's what the world would do anyway. I don't believe that Christians do witchcraft, perhaps in America and in Europe, sometimes do mix with that. Yeah. South America, they do it in Brazil, yes. Hatred, variance. You know, the hatred is very terrible. Like I sent you the video up there, just to let you see the racism that is rampant. And, you know, the comment that people share with me is that the black man who hit, the black man who punched this white man and knocked him out, well, if the white man died, he would go to jail. Of course he would go to jail. But I want to let you know this. Look, I have Christian that I met. You know, we talk and ask them, say, you know what's going on in the world? Yeah, I know, jail is coming soon because the world is in a bad shape. I said, what's going on in this country, that country? I don't know. I just know that it's bad. You know, and that's why people, they are not watchful and not prayerful. They are afraid to really want to know what's going on. But I tell some Christians, so really, are they serious? He said, really, they're serious. Christ is coming soon. No, that cannot be. You know, I believe Christ will not come so soon. In not maybe 30, 40 years. And they talk like this. It's because they don't know what's going on in the world. They are so busy with their work. They have seen no evil. They hear no evil. They speak no evil. They don't know. They just say, oh, Christ is coming soon. But how soon? They have no idea. You know. And they are, you know. The Bible says watch and pray, and that's why I'm looking at, and why I'm looking at the news and watching what's going on, what's unfolding. the killing that is out there in China. A lot of things that's happening, we don't know. The killing that is out there in Africa, Nigeria, Liberia, Guinea, Mali. We don't know because we are so comfortable here in Singapore. We know what the people are suffering. Do you know I cry many times when I just read the news, I see the video that they were taken, the killing. We can just say in our home, we pray, Father, we pray for these people. How do you pray when you don't even know what's going on out there, just to hear say, Christians being persecuted? But have an image in your mind. That's what I was saying, if you live in the days when you're under the Roman Empire, when they take a Christian and throw them in the arena, grandfather, grandparent, parents, and little one, and the whole stadium, thousands of people are just watching and jeering, and they let lion loose or they let the bear loose. You know? And perhaps there are Christians who are there to watch and see what's going on so that they could report back and encourage the believer to stand firm. It's horrifying. For to see the lion come, go up there with the mouth, tear up a child. And the parent couldn't do anything. Or the bear with his big paw, shove it and the head comes off a child. But again, why are you saying all these horrible things? It's a fact. Do you know how horrible Jesus Christ suffered? The death that he suffered? Why are you so afraid to recognize horror? And so when I watched the Passion of Christ, there was nothing. It is worse than that. Do you know? Do you know what the Bible said about that? We talk about the Passion of Christ. You see all that? Yeah, the producer Mel Gibson, I still remember, he's trying to pass to make it how horrible it is. Not good enough. It's worse than that. The badge on his face, Christ's face, Christ, even so distorted, actually. Have you ever seen? No wonder when I remember when I was in the Assemblies of God, when I taught the people how to pray, back there was in the 60s. Teach them how to be a soul winner. We pray, we come every Monday, study scripture, where we spend time praying. This went on for a couple of weeks and then three sisters standing, you know, kneeling in front of the altar there. And they start screaming. One rang his way out and one was shivering. I was wondering, what did they see? And when I ran out there, chased after the younger, the one that is out there, I said, what's happening? She was saying, it's so horrible, it's so horrible. So what do you see? Christ, so bloody, so horrible. You know, I wish that God give you a vision of Christ in your night. And then you will realize what it is like. Because what we see is a picture of Christ, the Hoffman pen is something, oh, so tender, beautiful looking. But that's not the real Christ. The real Christ I'm looking at is always the face. How you face death. Because that's what love was in him. He died for me. You know. So here we have, what is this? Hatred. It's all over the world. Yeah, variant. But Christian, don't do that. Emulation, wrath, strife, seduction, heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, reveling, and such like. There are many, many you can list. But let us have fruit of the Spirit. Yes, people are saying, in the video regarding the provocation, racism. A black man, a white man died, a black man is going to jail. Well, of course. And I was one listening, and there were people in the train telling a white man, why would you want to say all these things? And then the white man still provoked. I have been a peacemaker, I've tried to tell people, just quiet. Something around, brush me off. You know. But this man keep on continuing doing that. And in the frustration, the black man, one of them just gave him a good punch. Probably he broke his nose, I guess. I don't know. So nobody wins when you come to have hatred, racism, ethnic hatred. Now what we see in some country, though they are the same country, the skin is the same, but because you are born in one tribe and the other tribe, you go to Nigeria, you can see all the different tribes. You can tell them because of the marking on the skin, on the face. You know who I am. And here we have in the end time measure the same thing. The Bible tells us war within. And we have people writing all the nonsense out there. And when I put a stop to those things to tell them don't do it, they continue to do it. And I become the bad guy. As I said, we are here in Singapore. What happens if it's not here in Singapore? And the world changed. Suddenly, somebody come knocking at my door. And going to arrest me. You never know. But we say we are good here, we have freedom, everything. Correct. But think of those that are part of the body of Christ. In other countries, they don't have this privilege that we have. Brother is still writing me, brother, please help. They are running away from, you know, civil unrest, killing each other. Refugees running across to another country, you know. That's what's going on. All right, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 20.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly, and the belly for meats. But God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God have both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, said he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication is sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
Right. So you are sanctified. So don't defile the body. Meat for the belly, belly for meat. Very nice deal. Meat for the belly, belly for meat. Meat for the belly, belly for meat. Yeah, it's food is for my belly. My belly desire food. But in the end, God's going to destroy it anyway. Don't be a glutton, that is to say. Don't satisfy your body and lust and your freedom, your liberty in Christ to be a stumbling block. Alright? Lastly, 1 Corinthians 5, 9 to 11.
I wrote unto you an epistle, not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous or extortionists, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner with such as one, no, not to ye.
This is a very good warning and admonition that Paul gave. I wrote unto you not to company with fornicator. And then Paul said, yet altogether, not altogether with the fornicator of this world. Because if it is so, you need to go out into the world. Paul is saying that when I said, don't keep company with fornicator, he is not telling you that you have a friend outside who is a non-Christian, or a colleague out there who is non-Christian, who is a fornicator, don't mix with him. It doesn't mean that. For it be so, then you have to separate from the world. Paul is saying that when he wrote, he said, not to keep company, it is the brother or a sister in the church. If there is a brother in the church who is a fornicator, kick him out. If he's an idolater, kick him out. He's a railer, railing about this and this, about a sister or brother, railing and railing and railing. Kick him out. He's a drunkard, out he goes. Extortioner, out he goes. Paul said, don't keep company with such, because we are the same body. Because one body is contaminated, once a body is contaminated, as Paul said, if you sleep with a harlot, you are drawn to the harlot, are you not one with him? Are you not one with her? Yes. Do you understand what he's saying? This is pretty serious. And not even to eat with such a person when you meet him outside. Do you see? That's three more verses now in 2 John, the conclusion. See what 2 John said. 2 John 8, 11 to 11. Let me just read this. 2 John 8 to 11. Look to yourself that you lose not those things which we have robbed, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgress and abide not in the doctrine of Christ have not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he have both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, and neither do you bid him, God bless you. That is to say, for he that bid him, God speed, is prodigal of his evil deed. It doesn't mean that, of course, when a pagan come to your house and visit you, it's one thing. It's a friend. But you don't have to say to a Buddhist, God bless you. But if he is one who is called a Christian, who don't come to you with the proper doctrine of Christ, who believe not in the doctrine of Christ, in the apostolic truth, how can he? That means that he has not the Father and the Son. He's not a true believer. And such person, we don't have to bid him Godspeed. Do you see that? So in liberty in Christ is to act accordingly to what Paul had received of God in the revelation that God gave him. It is important to understand this, that as much as we have liberty in Christ, all things are lawful, but not all things edify. All things are experienced, sure, but not all things edify. So Paul is saying, make your choice right. Don't stumble a brother or sister with your freedom. Do you understand that? Don't let your freedom run wild to do whatever you like. I am liberty in Christ, and I do what I want to do, I will do now. If you are a child of God, you will stay in the Spirit of the Lord, the virtue of Christ, the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life, according to what is laid down in the Scripture of God. Amen. God bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for grace, and thank you for everything, Father. I ask you to take further the Word of God and break it down. Let your people, Lord, be strengthened by what you have given to Paul, to the church, that we might be strong and steadfast, O Father, in the faith of Lord Jesus Christ. Doing what is right, even as much as we have liberty in Christ, let us not seek our own, but another brother's needs, O Lord, and he is standing before you and his faith. Therefore, Father, I pray that you bless the Holy Word, and as those that partake of it and eat of it, that they may grow thereby. Bless this day now, Father, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.